Romans chapter 13. If you found your place in the Scripture, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're physically able to this morning, we're going to read Romans chapter 13, verses 11 down through 14. And the Bible says there in verse 11, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "A Wake-Up Call." A wake-up call. And certainly as representatives of Christ living in the final days, this is a wake-up call to live for Christ here on this earth. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Lord, we are so thankful yet again to come before you and to open up your word, Lord, and to hear the music that we've heard today and to be able to sing the hymns that we've been able to sing. And Lord, now thankful to be able to open up your word and allow you to speak to our hearts, Lord, through the message that you've given to us today. And I pray that you'd be with each and every person that has made the effort to be in church today, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, to apply this message to their lives, and help me, Lord, as I preach this message. And I pray that you'd give us a wonderful time in your house. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. There in verse 11, the Bible says, "In that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." And you can kind of sense some of the urgency in the Paul the Apostle's voice or his pen as he writes this letter. And he's writing from the city of Corinth, in the year is 56 A.D., and you see him writing this message, and he's writing this letter to those that were living in Rome, the Christians living in Rome at that time period, 56 A.D., and you begin to do the math, and you say, well, it's 1,960 years later. And yet Paul had urgency in his voice, and if you're not careful, you can begin somewhat maybe to downplay the urgency of Paul that those Christians living in that day were living in the final days. And even through the New Testament, the doctrine would come, and some would say, where is the promise of his coming, that Jesus that promised he's come back, he has not come back yet, and they didn't believe, some of them didn't believe that he would. And yet I want to remind you this morning that God's timetable is the only timetable that matters. Amen. The Scriptures reveal to us that 1,000 years is as a day to our Lord, and a day is 1,000 years. And listen, regardless of what any man would say here on this earth, I certainly believe, and as you look around you, it would certainly seem as though we're living in the final days. And yet you go back to this passage and you begin to study the history in the time of 56 A.D., there in the city of Rome, in the nation of Rome. In 54, there was a new emperor that took control. His name was Nero. You see, in 56, just 2 years later, those Christians living in Rome were still experiencing religious freedom. They could still go to the church on Sunday, and they could still worship if they please. But just 6 years later, in 62, a nationwide persecution of Christians would roll through that place at the hands of Nero. And yet I very seriously doubt at the time, listen, Paul is just writing what the Holy Spirit has placed upon his heart to write. I really seriously doubt that he foresaw as quickly as things would change there. But there was a wake-up call going to those Christians living in Rome there. While they had it pretty good at that time, and while Paul probably didn't even foresee what was going to happen, listen, can I say this? God knew it all along. God knew exactly what those Christians were about to face in some 6 short years. Many of them, maybe not even seeing 6 years come to pass. Many of them standing before God even before that. And yet here in this passage, the Christians living in Rome are receiving a wake-up call. A wake-up call to the Christians. God is saying, listen, wake up. It's time to live for Christ in the day and age in which you're living. It's time to start living for Christ and for Christ and living and doing things for Him, because you're not guaranteed a tomorrow. Listen, none of us know what tomorrow may bring forth. Those Christians receiving this letter, listen, things were pretty good at the time, but they had no idea what the next day would hold for them. They didn't know if they would draw their last breath and they would stand before God that day. And yet, can I remind you this morning that this wake-up call isn't just for Christians living in Rome in 56 AD. This wake-up call is for Christians living in America in 2016 as well. God has recorded this wake-up call in Scripture for us to be able to study it and to go through it and to be able to find out what God has for us. And yet I want to say this morning, it's time to wake up in the land of America for the Christians. It's time to get serious about serving God in the day and age in which we live. And yet as I look through this passage, a couple things stick out to me, and I want to go through those very quickly this morning. First of all, I see a command. I see a command to wake up there in verse 11. In that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. What a blessing is found even in that passage, that we're closer to our heavenly home than when we first believed. And what a great blessing to realize that I could stand before God even tomorrow. Amen. Spend eternity with God in heaven. And so there's a command. It's a command to awake out of sleep. This past week, we had something new in the Folger household. Our youngest daughter, Carissa, entered into kindergarten, which means that now all four of our kids are in school. And I know she's been very excited for that some time. In fact, last week we were on vacation, and Saturday, just 2 days before she was to go to kindergarten, she went up to Cherie, and Cherie was getting ready in the morning, and she said, "Mommy," she said, "you're not ready for 2 days from now, are you?" She put her arms around her mom and gave her a hug like, "It'll be all right. I'm a big girl. I can handle this now." But I remember Sunday night putting her down to bed, and before we went to bed, she was asking me about school, and she said, "Daddy," she said, "how long do I have to sleep before I can go to school?" And I looked at her and I said, "Well, I'll get you up at 6:30 tomorrow morning." And she said, "That is so far away." You see, she had something planned to do. I remember Monday morning walking into her room. I just opened the door, and she's a light sleeper, and I didn't even have to call out her name. She rolled over, and she began to laugh because, listen, she had something very exciting ahead of her. And there was no more time for sleep. In her mind, it was, like the Scripture says, high time to get out of bed. I've got something waiting for me. Kindergarten awaited for that little girl, and she was very excited about it. Let me ask you this question. Do you remember when you first got saved? You remember that feeling, that sense of urgency to live for Christ and the joy and the peace and the happiness that you experienced at the time? How many of you remember the first time God began to use your heart and your life in some way? Maybe it was to witness to a coworker, or maybe it was a ministry that you got involved in. And listen, you got excited about that because you were excited about serving the Lord. You know, one of the reasons why young Christians are excited about serving God is because the return of Christ is very much a reality to them. There's very much a sense of urgency, the fact that, listen, Christ is come back, and yet I know what happens. Listen, along life's way, we begin to attend church, and we begin to get grounded in the Word of God, and we begin to work and labor and ministry, and if we're not careful sometimes, listen, we can just get lulled somewhat to sleep as we go through the motions of living the Christian life. And it's very easy to do, and sometimes it's easy just to go through the motions. And yet, I want to say this morning, listen, it's time, Christians, to wake up. This wake-up call goes out to us. The wake-up call is heard. The Bible says the night is past. There's no more time for sleeping. Listen, the day is at hand. Do you realize that we could stand before God today? You realize that we could stand before God, the rapture could happen as sure as we're sitting in church this morning and we would stand before God? Listen, it's time to get serious about living for Christ as we live the Christian life. There's a wake-up call. And I say this morning, Christian, wake up. There's a sense of urgency today to live for God, is there not? You see it through the writing of Paul. I love what the biblical commentator Robert Haldane had to say in regards to this passage. Listen to what he had to say. He said, "The near prospect of leaving this world and entering into a state of glory ought to have a great effect upon Christians." Think about that. The near prospect of leaving the problems that we have here in this world and entering into an eternity of glory ought to have a great effect upon us as we live the Christian life. And he goes on to say, in making them think less of this world and more of that which they are about to become inhabitants. Man, when you begin to start thinking about eternity and what God has for you, you can't help but get excited and about living for Him and understand the sense of urgency that is given to us. And yet, I want to say this morning that the devil's a great deceiver, is he not?
Right.
And to all mankind, here's what he says. He says, don't worry about eternity. Just worry about this life. Just make your money in this life and live life for you. And don't worry about eternity. Do you understand how crazy that lie is that we believe? In regards to eternity, listen, our lives here on this earth are just but a drop in the bucket of eternity. And yet so many times, listen, even as Christians, we pour everything we have into living here on this earth and what pleases me and what satisfies the flesh. And Jesus Christ is saying, wake up, Christian, it's time to live for Him.
Amen.
Time to live with eternity in view.
Amen.
And so we see the command this morning, the command to wake up. Turn over to 2 Timothy, if you would, 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Paul, in writing to Timothy here in this passage, I love what he presents to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 3, he says this. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Realize this is not an easy life in which we live.
Right.
There's going to be some difficulties that we're going to face as we live this life. But look at verse 4. Here's the key. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Can I say this morning, if you are in the battle with Christ, you're not going to find yourself entangled with the affairs of this life. You're going to leave those things behind so that you can press forward for the cause of Christ. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And listen, far too often, Christians, we find ourselves entangled with the affairs of this life and the things that we have going on with little regard to eternity. I want to say the command goes out this morning to wake up and prepare to meet the Lord. Wake up and start living for Jesus Christ in the final days in which we have here on this earth. Listen, it's time, Christians, to get serious about your Christianity because the Lord could return today.
Amen.
Listen, we don't have much time. Let me ask you this question. If you knew you were going to stand before the Lord tomorrow, how different would your life be today? It's time to wake up and get serious about living for Christ. And so we see a command, first of all, and then secondly, back in our passage there in Romans chapter 13, I see a contrast. He gives us a command that it's high time to wake out of sleep, but then he says in verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. He talks about the difference between night and day. It's no longer time to sleep. It's time to awake. The day is at hand. And then he says this, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Amen.
There's a contrast here. There's a contrast between the daytime and the nighttime. There's a contrast between this idea of the works of darkness and the armor of light. I tell you what he's getting at here. Listen, there's two ways to live the Christian life. The one way is to live for yourself and to do what the flesh wants to do. And the other way is to live for Jesus Christ and do what He wants you to do.
Amen.
There's two ways in which we can live. Listen, there's certainly the world's system of living and the Christian's way of living. Darkness and light, these two define the two ways to live. Listen, living for yourself, can I say this, will bring darkness and destruction in your life. There are Christians, listen, they've been saved and they'll spend eternity with God in heaven. But here in this life, there is no joy. There's no peace. There's no happiness as they live this Christian life. Why? Because they're living for themselves. And yet living for Christ will bring great peace and great joy. It'll bring great light to your life. In fact, turn over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, because I want to remind you, listen, one of the lies of the devil is that it doesn't matter how you live. You can live any way that you want to. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, these things are not the case. The Bible says in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Living for yourself will bring corruption, certainly here in this life. But look what he says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen.
Listen to me this morning. Listen, the devil wants you to think as a Christian you can live any way that you want to live, and it doesn't matter. Can I say it does matter? Certainly we should be storing up treasures in heaven as the Bible refers to. And listen, one of the things that the Roman Christians needed to hear back in Romans chapter 13, one of the things they needed to hear was found in verse 13. Would you look back at that? Paul says to them in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. You see, there's a contrast there. Let us walk honestly in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. You see, all these were sins of the flesh. It was all what I want to do, what makes me happy, what pleases me. This idea there that he presents to them, rioting and drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife and envying, it's putting me first above all other things, and it certainly would cause a conflict for them. And listen, one of the things they needed to hear as they're receiving this wake-up call that there's not time to live for yourself anymore, it's time to live for Christ, is, listen, if you're going to live for Christ, let's walk honestly as in the day. And again, listen, these folks possibly were living with no regard of moral guidelines, no regard of the truth of Jesus Christ. And again, one of the goals of the devil is to keep every unbeliever from being saved. Can I say this morning that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the goal of the devil is to keep you exactly where you're at. To go through this life, living it as a lost person, not having assurance about where you'll spend eternity, that is the goal of the devil. The goal of the devil for the Christian this morning is for you to not live for the cause of Christ, to continue to live for yourself, to continue to sow to the flesh, to continue in these ways. And one of the things that Paul is writing to these Christians and telling them, listen, it's time to forsake these things and live for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
And as we're talking about contrasts, that in itself is a direct contrast from God's plan. Because while the devil desires the lost man, the person without Jesus Christ to stay lost, can I say this morning that Jesus desires you to get saved? Jesus desires you to spend eternity with Him in heaven. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here today, the good news for you, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you don't know where you spend eternity, listen, God's plan for your life is that you would accept Him, and you have that opportunity today.
Amen.
What a great blessing that is. But can I say that God's plan for the Christian is to live this life for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
To live with Him in eternity in view. Listen, a contrast means there's no denying the difference. You have the contrast in the color between black and white. Listen, you would never mistake one for the other. The contrast between night and day is that you would never mistake one for the other. There's a direct contrast. Can I say there's a direct contrast in the way in which we should live this life? The world system versus Christ's way of living this life. And yet this morning it's time to wake up, Christians, and realize not only is it a command to wake up, but there's a contrast, there's a difference in the way we can live our lives, and we ought to live our lives for the cause of Christ.
Right.
Living for now and not for, or living for eternity and not for now. And yet, let me ask you this question. Listen, every Christian knows the difference between living for yourself and living for God. And even the world knows how a Christian is supposed to live. They'll call you out on it when you're not living that way. Why then? Why then would we forsake living for Christ to live for ourselves? Why would we do that when we know the command that's given for Christ? The Christians in Rome didn't realize, listen, their opportunity to freely live for Christ was drawing to a close. They couldn't foresee that in 6 years, listen, persecution would roll through the church in that nation, and many of them would either be martyred or they'd be persecuted from their faith and torn away from everything that they'd come to know. And again, I ask you this question, how different would you live today if you knew the rapture would happen tomorrow? How different would you live today if you knew you would stand before God tomorrow? Would it change the way you interacted with lost ones? Would it change the way you witnessed? Would it change the way that your prayer life was if you knew you were going to meet God face to face tomorrow? And I'm simply saying, listen, Christian, while there's a command to wake up, there's also a contrast in the way in which we can choose to live. We can either choose to live for ourselves and do that which pleases us, or live for Christ and do that which pleases Him. And so there's a command to wake up. There's a contrast in lifestyles. And then finally, here in this passage back in Romans chapter 13, I see a choice. It's found in verse 14. The Bible says, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Again, that command is heard, listen, to wake up, to live for Christ in this day. There's a contrast in lifestyles and the way which we live. And then finally, Jesus gives us a choice here in this passage. The choice is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. I love the way that he words that for us today. It's almost as though it's like putting on a garment that shows that we're living for Christ. And while I understand, listen, there's no t-shirt to wear that says I'm a Christian and my lifestyle ought to portray that, can I say this? The way in which we live our lives will identify us with Christ or with the world. The way in which we interact with other people will identify us with Christ or with the world. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm a proud Clevelander, which means I also grew up rooting for the Cleveland Browns. I know, don't feel bad for me. Listen, I've heard all the jokes, I've seen all the funny pictures, and they're not that funny, just to be real honest with you. But as a result of me growing up rooting for the Cleveland Browns, I've amassed quite a few t-shirts and sweatshirts and those kind of things, and it's always funny that whenever I wear those, especially outside of the city of Cleveland, sometimes here in Indianapolis or when we're traveling or things like that, I always usually get feedback about being a Browns fan. And it's not always positive feedback, but one of these days, we're going to find our place. But you know what I found? I've never gone up to someone that was wearing a Cleveland Browns shirt and said, "Hey, you root for the Cleveland Browns?" And I've never had them say, "No, I just found this shirt. I just like the way it looked. This brown and orange, really, these colors really go together really, really well." No one's ever said, "Yeah, it was the last thing in my closet. I just decided to put it on." Can I tell you this? If you're a Browns fan, you wear a Browns t-shirt on purpose to let other people know that you root for the Cleveland Browns. And yet I might say this morning, it's a simple illustration, but might I say this morning, if you're a Christian, you live for the cause of Christ on purpose so that you can identify to others what team that you're rooting for or what team that you're on, that you're living for Christ and not living for the world. And yet this morning we have a choice to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as a Christian, you have a choice to live that there's so there's no denying what team you're on. Listen, if we are for the cause of Christ, if we're saved, why would we want to live for the world? Why would we want to live for the flesh? Why would we want to do what pleases us instead of doing what pleases our Heavenly Father in heaven? Look at the end of verse 14 there. He says, "But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." He says the choice that you make to put on Jesus Christ and remove yourself from doing what you would want to do, what would please you, why would you want to put yourself in a place of temptation to do the things that please you? Can I say that our enemy already has enough to tempt us with without us giving him the opportunity to choose the flesh over what God would have for us to do? Last week, we were in Branson on vacation, and we took a week just to get away with our family. And one of the things that we did while we were away is we rented a boat, and we went out on one of the lakes that was there. And I remember when we signed the waiver for the boat, the person that was signing out said, "You need to stay 100 feet away from the shore." He said, "If you get too close, you can run the boat aground, and we'll have to come get you, and it's going to cost you money." And so I got to thinking in my mind, I don't like to spend extra money. And so when we went on a lake, do you know where I stayed the entire day? Right in the middle of the lake, not giving any chance to get that boat run aground. Because listen, all I'm seeing in my mind is dollar signs. And this is already costing me enough money. That's the way guys view vacation. This is already costing me enough money. I'm not spending any more than I have to. And so we stayed right in the middle of the lake because I wasn't going to give myself a chance to run aground and cost even more money. And yet, listen, while those that have boated say that 100 feet may be a bit generous, you're probably not going to run aground, I wasn't going to give myself the opportunity. And yet, why as Christians sometimes do we live right on the edge? You know, we'll come to church and we'll do the things that we're supposed to do, but we still make provision for the flesh in this area of our lives. is say, I'm going to walk between living for Christ and living for myself, because living for Christ is just a bit more than I want to do, or a bit too much for me. And yet sometimes, listen, if we're not careful, as the Apostle Paul says, listen, we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on what I want to do, how I want to live. We identify with the world and we're right on the edge. And so many times we make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And God says, listen, wake up, Christian. It's time to wake up, because you're living like the world lives when you ought to be living for the cause of Christ. Amen. Now, here's what I love about this passage. So he spends this time telling us about what we're supposed to do. But here's what I love, because he tells us how to do it. Go back to verse 12, if you would. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's get rid of the flesh, the old nature, and put on the armor of light. So what's he speaking of? He's speaking of the armor that God has given to us to live the Christian life. I want you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be finished here in this passage. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to notice a few words that stand out in this passage to me. Look in verse 10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The idea of strength there, through God's power. Then in verse 11 he says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, and there's this word, stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Listen, the cause of Christ is that as we live here on this earth, that we would stand and fight for the cause of Christ. That we would identify with Him and live for Him. Now look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The enemy is not one in which we can see and touch. The Bible says, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So that's the identification of the enemy. Now look in verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to, and here's this word, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and then in verse 14 he says again, stand therefore. Listen, the Christian life is to be lived for Christ. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some enduring of hardness, but it is possible when we identify with Christ and we live for Him to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. Now look what he gives us here, and we'll go through these very, very quickly this morning. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And listen, he says, this, as a Christian, is what you are to put on. You're to put on the armor. You know, you're to forsake that of the night, the darkness, and put on the armor that God gives to you. You say, how do I do that? You get in church. Amen. You get in the Word of God. You begin to study those things. You begin to get grounded in Scripture. Let me say this. Listen, when that happens, you'll know what the truth is. You'll have your loins girt about with truth. You'll have the breastplate of righteousness as you go and you live. And as you choose to live for the cause of Christ, you'll have righteousness in which you can live in your life. And listen, you'll have the helmet of salvation. You'll have the sword of the Spirit as you begin to choose God and to study His Word and allow it to grow in your life. As you begin to choose Him and take off that cloak of darkness, putting on the armor of light. And yet I might say this morning, wake up, Christian, because Christ's return is drawing near. It's time to stop living for ourselves and start living for Him. Wake up, Christian, because there's not much time left. Wake up, Christian, because it's not a physical enemy that we face and yet a spiritual warfare that we face. Wake up, Christian, because we have the tools to fight. We have the armor of God, but we must put it on. And so this morning, while we should be fighting against the devil, if we're not careful, we're going to be sleeping. We're going to be living life for ourselves. Can I say the night is far spent? It's no time to sleep now. That's all behind us. It's time to get up and get serious for the cause of Christ. Be aware of the time we have left to live for Him. And you say, Brother Andy, why is that so important? Here's what I want you to understand. Christians living like Christians is the only hope for our world. for the little time that we have left here on this earth. I understand other things can help and help the religious climate or the moral climate of our day. But can I say the only thing that's going to change people is Christians living like Christians.
Amen.
The only thing that's going to change the children that I'm raising in my home is if my wife and I choosing to live like Christians should live. The only thing that's going to change your coworkers is Christians not identifying with the world, not being the same of what they're used to, but living for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
So we see this morning a command to wake up, and we see a contrast in the ways that we can live our lives. And then finally, I trust that we'll all make that choice to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to not make provision for the flesh. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Appreciate so much the way that you've listened. We're in just a moment going to have a time of invitation. Invitation is the opportunity to respond to what God has spoken to you about. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, we invite you to come use the altar today. Perhaps there's someone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't know if you were to die today that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. Can I say today you can come forward? Someone will take a Bible and show you from God's Word how you could know for sure that you'd spend eternity with God in heaven. It'll be a day that could change the rest of your life. And then maybe there's Christians here today, and you've been living for yourself. You say there may have even been a time in which I was living for the cause of Christ, but I've kind of been lulled to sleep and just need to get active again, doing things for the cause of Christ. In just a moment, we're going to say a word of prayer, and then we'll stand and we'll sing a hymn of invitation. At that time, the altar will be open. You can come forward and do business with God. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we are so thankful, Lord, the opportunities that you give to us. Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and to live a life that identifies us as Christians. And yet so many times, Lord, because of the lies of the devil and the deceit of the devil, oftentimes we may live life for ourselves. I pray that this morning, Lord, as Christians, we'll choose to live life for you. I pray for those that may be unsaved today, Lord, that would come today and would have the gospel, Lord, presented to them. They'd receive you as their personal Savior. Lord, we love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen.